Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into wide receivers who were hurt by the NFL draft. Tight ends that were hurt by the NFL draft. We've already done wide receivers. We've already done tight ends that were helped. So now we're doing tight ends that were hurt, the last of our series here. So you can go back and check out. This is the eighth one of these. Two for each position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Want to dive into some of the bigger ones of these. Dallas Goedert's probably the biggest one, but I'm not talking myself super off the ledge of him, so I do want to caveat this. He benefited from the departure of Zach Ertz in 2021, finishing behind only George Kittle in yards per route run after Ertz was traded. So I think you sort of see that ceiling stuff, and you saw an uptick with him. You saw an uptick in the amount of routes that he ran per drop back as well. There was a very real difference in terms of some of the usage that he had. So for what that's worth. The pre-draft news was a clear indication the team was probably going to address the position. I think we could have been more hopeful if they had addressed it in a rookie draft, where you bring in a guy that isn't super established, but is, you know, has some upside or whatever, and could long-term be an answer for them, but isn't a direct threat to Dallas Goedert. They instead went out and got basically the Dallas Goedert of the wide receiver position, which is a hyper-efficient guy who hasn't run a ton of volume. And now they're basically going to add that to an offense that just bred Goddard, which was an effective, efficient yards per route run offense that's just not high volume. So be interested to see how that works. AJ Brown is basically the Dallas Goedert of the wide receiver position, and or for that matter, Goddard is basically the A.J. Brown of the tight end position. We'll see how that all goes. I was hoping that they would add a guy like Jameson Williams or something like that, because it would take, you know, it would spread the field out or whatever, but it wouldn't be a huge hindrance to his target volume. I think the A.J. Brown one could be. However, I'll say this. A.J. Brown doesn't preclude Dallas Goedert from being a difference maker, and that would be the thing that I would say about this. I want guys that can be difference makers at that position, and having a guy like Goedert, I do think, is one of the rare guys that can make a really, really high-end contribution, really high-end outcome at the tight end position. TJ Hockenson, it's been a while. It's been quite the year on TJ Hockenson. He entered 2021, and I thought he had a really credible argument to be the best receiving option in the Detroit passing game. You remember they had lost Marvin Jones, right? They had lost Kenny Galladay, and it was DeAndre Swift, it was Hockenson, and it was a bunch of nobodies. And what happened? Well, one of those nobodies ended up being Amon-Ra St. Brown, who really played well when Hockenson was injured. Then they bring in DJ Shark, and then they trade up for Jameson Williams. So all of a sudden you have an offense that I think is much better than it was last year, and much more competitive, or the competition for targets is higher, I guess is the easiest way to say it. So I'm a little bit bearish on Hockenson. I have been. I just don't see a ton of high efficiency, high effectiveness that you really need to be an elite tight end. You either need one of basically two things. You need a ton of volume, or you need a rocket ship because you're super efficient. And I don't know if either of those things is going to happen for Hockenson. So I'm a little bit bearish there. Zach Ertz was kind of tough, because on one hand, I think Zach Ertz was hurt by the draft. On the other hand, I don't think he was hurt in a way that actually is painful to him. So I think it matters what your expectations are. I think for us, we're willing to play Zach Ertz year to year and just sort of accept it. I think with others, they want to say, all right, if I'm going to take a tight end too, like, I want that to be a five-year player. So I don't think it's really going to be that for Zach Ertz, but I do think when I do a podcast with you guys, when I talk to you guys, I'm playing with a higher level of dynasty GMs, of you guys subscribers, than when I am necessarily writing a post at Football Guys. This is a good example of that. I think that Ertz is probably hurt from a overall perspective. I think he's probably hurt from a maybe a ceiling perspective. He's maybe hurt from a little bit of a usage perspective. But again, I don't think McBride's going to come in right away and be dominant. And does that really hurt Ertz? Or is that hurt for Ertz maybe next year or in 2024 or something like that? I think that's probably more true. So I'm not worried about Ertz producing for this year, really. And we're going to see him get the opportunity without Hopkins. So I think that's an interesting savvy spot. And listen, if he comes back and if Hopkins comes back and that's about the time McBride's playing well, like hopefully we'll have had an opportunity to sell Ertz at that point. But I think he's a candidate to be a pretty good starter of the year. All right, Albert O is the next one up. And Albert O had early offseason beneficiary of the Russell Wilson trade. Noah Fant sent to Seattle. Albert O has frankly been more productive on a route run basis than Fant has been to date. Same quarterbacks largely when looking at that. So that's something that you could say, all right, if Albert O's being a lot more productive than Fant is, we're in trouble. Or maybe we can get out of Fant before we have to pay him and just basically recycle that production with Albert O. There's, I think, a problem with the Albert O reliance, which is that is the team really just going to wait into day three and not address the position with some competition after they let Fant walk? And that's what we saw, right? So we see them bring in Dulcich in the third round. That's not nothing. And I think he's a viable foil to Albert O, and that's that is certainly a thorn, I guess, in the side of Albert O. Again, is that something that's going to be this year? No, maybe not. Maybe you don't necessarily depend on Dulcich this year, but I think if you're looking 2023, something like that, if Albert O hasn't fully broken out, or if this is a situation where he gets kind of the Hayden Hurst breakout, which is like, oh great, he's like a tight end 10 and it doesn't really move the needle, all of a sudden he could be a faller because, hey, listen, he's got this competition and yada yada. That would be just something I'd worry about with him. I do think this, the selection of Dulcich, really, while it might not necessarily be a huge threat to him target-wise, it does put him on a clock where he's got to be right. And that would be sort of my thought with Albert O there. All right, last but not least is Noah Fant. And you can't think of any more roller coaster of emotions than Noah Fant. Noah Fant was, everyone was super excited that he was going to be catching balls from Russell Wilson in Denver until half an hour later we realized that he was actually part of the compensation that went from Denver to Seattle. So not great there, right? That certainly hurt. And now he's going from a pre-Russell Wilson Denver-like quarterback room with, frankly, a quarterback that manned the room in Denver, which is Drew Lock, to another one in Seattle, right? He's going to the same quarterback type situation. And they don't draft anyone. And I think you'd come away from this thinking the whole time, like, ugh. And he's a good example of being average or being, you know, being okay, or even being good is that's usable. But how much of a difference does it make if you're not elite? And that's just the thing that with Fant that gives me a lot of pause. And he's one of those ones that I think I've learned, especially along the way of like looking at some of the production, the yards per route run and stuff like that. I do think that when you look at some of these guys, you have a little bit more question about their ceiling a little bit earlier on, and that with Fant has showed up, and I wonder how that's going to manifest itself in a Seattle offense that, frankly, I'm not sure who's going to be throwing the ball, but I don't like any of the options for Fant. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, I've done all 8 of these, so you can go back and check all of them out, and that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.